Recently, Bishop Allen has written to each of the parishes within the diocese, inviting them to journey with the scattered people of the Good Shepherd Ministry. This dispersed community, recently formed by the diocese, is another expression of Christian discipleship, helping to connect those for whom various reasons may not be able to access or attend a local church on a regular basis. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to pause from our own program of teaching and focus on the gospel readings from Mark and the growing together learning material about the scattered people. We have delayed the beginning of this study in order to make space for our teaching on seeking God's face. And we felt that this would flow on really well to the diocese program. As part of the program, you'll see that there is a growing together booklet here. And this is for small groups. We also have the daily readings and prayers here. And as part of the encounter, you will see that you'll be invited to join in this program. And each week in our pew sheets, there will be a reflection or an introduction of the focus of the week. Now, Ian has kindly printed out some readings of that for us, and you're more than welcome after the service to go and grab one of those. I myself have popped it on the fridge at home as a gentle reminder of when and what I need to be praying for. One thing you will notice is that the dates won't be correct. What I've done is in the opposite row, I've actually put the dates starting from today. And it's a really good idea so that then you can have a look and see that, yes, what we're praying in order, but also have the opportunity to pray with other parishes throughout the diocese in intercessory prayer. And it's a wonderful opportunity if you haven't joined a small group. I encourage you to join one. Perhaps this might be a good opportunity to commit to 5 weeks and see what happens. I've been asked this morning, as I said, to give you a brief overview of the five-week program. The first week is about getting to know the ministry. The purpose of this week's study is to get to know the basics of the scattered people of the Good Shepherd Ministry. Next week's focus will be on getting to know the website. The purpose of that week is to discover the different resources of the ministry. Now, my kids tell me that I'm electronically challenged, so exploring a website may be interesting and hopefully a bit of fun. And Emma will be preaching on the gospel reading from Mark next week. Week 3 is about getting to know the people. And Chris will be sharing with us about the people of the ministry. Just who are they? And how this relates to the gospel reading from Mark. Week 4, Jamie will be exploring this week. And he's going to be getting us to think about a rule of life. The purpose of the week's study is to consider your own rhythm of life. And our final week will also be our Thanksgiving Sunday. How wonderful. We'll be here in a joint service, and Jennifer will be reflecting on intentional relationships, the purpose of which is for us to consider the importance of intentional relationships and reflect upon the different rhythms of people. As I previously mentioned, the first week is about getting to know the ministry. This ties in really well with our Seeking God's Face study. The scattered people of the Good Shepherd are a dispersed community, a community that is intentional about pursuing a relationship with God through regular prayer, reading the scriptures, and participating in meaningful Christian relationships. In other words, intentional about being disciples. The beginning of discipleship is a commitment to love God with our whole heart, and that means seeking His face, looking to Him as Israel was encouraged to do, and as Jesus Himself demonstrated on earth. He did this through His relationship with the Father, and as He encourages us to also do. Now, when I reviewed the learning materials from this morning's gospel reading from Mark, it suggested that in order to understand Mark's seventh chapter, we actually need to look back a bit to give this morning's gospel passage some context. Now, I find the supplied information a good reflection, but perhaps a bit wordy, so I'm going to give you a quick recap. The controversy over tradition and what constitutes defilement follows a section in the gospel about Jesus' powerful works and his growing popularity in a Jewish region. After Jesus is rejected at Nazareth, he sends the 12 on a successful mission in which they imitate his ministry of preaching, exorcisms, and healing. The word about Jesus continues to spread throughout the region. People start to actually speculate who he might be, even important people like Herod Antipas, about what kind of figure Jesus could be. Could he be John the Baptist, returned from the grave? Or could he be Elijah? Or perhaps a prophet, perhaps one like Moses? Jesus miraculously multiplies bread for a hungry multitude, confirming his importance, even if people do not yet understand him. As a result, when Jesus crosses the sea, huge crowds gather to seek the benefits of his healing ministry. The Pharisees, well, they judged everything by outward appearances. They measured a man's purity by the rules he kept. They calculated his value by his talents and wealth. And as part of their ritualism, the Pharisees washed their hands and their silverware, thinking that it kept them pure in God's eyes. Talk about missing the point. The Pharisees accused Jesus' disciples, and therefore Jesus, of defiling themselves for eating with unwashed hands. But they came judging Christ with defiled hearts of their own. Jesus quoted a sigh in keeping with the prophet's observations about the worst state of human evil. It is a state of total blindness to the depth of one's sin, while thinking that they themselves were in perfect communion with God. The Pharisees, they were sick and thought themselves well. Mark actually ridicules the religious obsessions of the authorities. They take things to almost unbelievable limits, ritually cleansing cups and pots and pitchers and kettles. But Jesus says to the crowd that is gathered, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. He explains that true defilement has to do with what passes in and out of the heart, not the body. Mark adds in verse 19 the comment that Jesus means to declare all foods clean. Well, this is revolutionary for the time. Basically, it was unheard of teaching. According to Leviticus chapter 20, verses 24 to 26, Yahweh separated the clean from the unclean food in order to distinguish the Israelites from the surrounding peoples. The Jews preserved their religious and national identity through practices associated with food laws, hand washing, and Sabbath keeping. Mark's explanation that Jesus declared all foods clean actually prepares the way for the Gentile mission. The people of God are not set apart by particular traditions or authenticity, but by a purity that emanates from the heart, manifested by love for others. Now, I'm reminded of a movie that I saw many years ago and again recently. It was good timing for me, actually. The movie's As Good As It Gets. Has anyone seen that? I can see quite a few people nodding. Well, you can see where I'm going. For those who don't know the movie, Jack Nicholson plays an obsessive compulsive author of more than 60 romance novels named Marvin Udall. He lives alone in a New York apartment. He's a busy man. He spends several hours a day writing about love and romance. He also spends quite a lot of time making sure that he doesn't step on any of the cracks on the sidewalks as he walks down the busy New York streets. Another of his favourite pastimes is insulting everyone he meets and comes in contact with. He's actually particularly nasty to his gay neighbour and the Jewish patrons of his favourite restaurant who actually dare to sit at his favourite table. When anyone tries to have a humane conversation with him, he proves to be the world's poorest listener. So absorbed is he with protecting his personal world from contamination that he checks out of conversations when they don't directly concern him and his needs. There's one other pastime that Marvin engages in. For those who've watched the movie, you know where I'm coming next. This is his daily hand-washing ritual. He opens the medicine chest and there's row upon row of antiseptic soap, individually wrapped in cellophane, never before touched by human hands. During his daily hand-washing ritual, he goes through several bars of soap. He swipes each bar only once across his palms before discarding it and unwrapping another. And then he rinses his hands with water that's so hot that it raises blisters. Verbal garbage, nasty, hurtful words that wound others, and hands clean enough to eat off. Jesus actually reminds us that we all have a bit of Marvin in us. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles. In fact, the whole plot of this movie can be summed up as Marvin gradually living his way into the truth that lies at the heart of this passage, as we heard in the gospel message. The disciples, as usual, don't understand, and Jesus has to explain that food cannot defile us. It simply passes through. What does defile us are the thoughts, self-interests in our heart, which come out in the form of evil deeds and words, slander, murder, theft, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, and envy. Jesus says we're to look through the material aspects of our life and not ignore them. We're to look through them to the things of the heart. What is morally important is the kind of person you are, and the things to seek are the good things of the inner life, the true and lasting things such as justice, honesty, faithfulness, and compassion. We must look through whatever it may be that actually prevents us seeing the heart of things. Things such as perhaps present distress, money worries, perhaps health problems, family concerns, perhaps even religious regulations and practices. In James chapter 1 verse 27, James actually puts it very well, and let me share it with you. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And he also tells us how to do it in verse 21. Welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act. They will be blessed in their doing. In other words, look to Jesus, the living word of God, and receive him as the pivot of your thinking, speaking, and acting. Now, When I was growing up, my brothers and I would often have fights and throw insults and say nasty things to each other. I imagine perhaps I'm not alone here, anyone who has siblings. Perhaps they weren't childhood arguments. Perhaps that was even later on in life you've had some unkind words to each other. Well, my mum, when we used to argue, she used to say to us, "I wish you three could hear yourselves." Now, I didn't actually like her saying that at the time, I must admit, but now I can see the wisdom of what she was trying to teach us. And I'm sure we can probably all recall when we've said some hurtful words to others. Spiteful, hurtful words do hurt. They come out of us. And Jesus says that this is what makes us unclean, because they have come from the heart. No one can achieve purity of heart and speech without the help of God. The habits of judgmental gossip and subtle self-promotion are hard to break. The pure in heart are those who consistently, repeatedly allow God to cleanse them of these corruptions. Now, most people get heart checkups, don't they? They start perhaps watching what goes into their mouths on the advice of the doctor. Jesus recommends to us that we check out our hearts and then start watching what comes out of them. I encourage us all to try listening for healing, wholesome words this week, as well as speaking them, and to think about how we can be a blessing to someone else this week. The Lord be with you.